Welcome back to the Boneyard Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jared Shaffet, along with
Artemis Brower.
We're coming to you this week with episode 103, Artie.
103.
How we doing, my man?
103. I'm good. I'm really, really good.
Nice. I'm doing well myself, as is all of Pirate Nation. For the first time, Artie, in 21 years, your East Carolina Pirates are hosting as a top eight national seed in the College World Series. They're hosting the Greenville Regional this weekend. If they move on to the Super Regional, Artie, guess what? Super Regional next weekend in Greenville. So, yes, what a turn of events for this Pirate baseball club. It's been a roller coaster of a season, to say the least, Artemis. And I'm here for it. I can't believe at one point we were talking about this team being 14-13.
Yeah.
They're now 42-18.
Unbelievable. Absolutely.
That is insane.
Unbelievable. And the run that they've gone on to win 18 straight, to finish the season the way you did and then be regular season champs and then also make that conference tournament run and really do it in dominating fashion. I mean they you know, mercy ruled. I'm blanking on, it was a Cincinnati they mercy ruled
Cincinnati.
Mercy ruled Cincinnati, beat Houston, what was it, 6-0?
We beat 6-1
Houston in the final? 6-1?
6-1. Houston, so, I mean, Houston we got a run in garbage time.
We ran through everybody. It was in dominating fashion. We took no prisoners. We took no mercy. And really what you want to see right before you start postseason play. And we earned that regional in Greenville. I don't give a damn what anybody says. I do not care what your stats are. I don't care what you have to say. East Carolina earned that regional this year. After everything that they've gone through, it deserves and it has been earned in Greenville.
Yeah, Artie, I'll say, like, I started firing off some tweets from the Boneyard Podcast account. I would say probably on Tuesday or Wednesday, just with a, hey, watch out for this. Mm-hmm. The Pirates might be able to slide in and get a top eight seed. And I didn't think they would go higher than eight. I thought there might be a chance for seven if the cards just happen to fall all at the right place. But to go from where they were, and I mean, less than a month ago, a little over a month ago, I guess, to be sitting on the bubble and then get in, I mean, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get more into that, Artie, I got number three for you. All right.
Yeah.
I got Dale Murphy.
Ooh, and that's a good one. I know who this is. You finally named somebody I know.
And this is somebody that, in my opinion, has been shafted worse than anybody in history. Yes, even UNC State. Dale Murphy. He played for the Braves, the Phillies, and the Rockies. He's a two-time MVP, five-time Gold Glover, four-time Silver Slugger, seven-time All-Star, had over 2,100 hits, almost 400 home runs, 1,266 RBIs. The fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame is criminal. Those are Hall of Fame numbers.
Those are Hall of Fame numbers. I mean, you said you rattled off two MVPs, five Gold Gloves, four-time Silver Slugger, seven-time All-Star with 2,100 hits. And let's just go ahead and round up the 400 home runs. I mean, I know he had 398, but I'm just going to say 400. The man had 400 home runs. Like, yeah, that's Hall of Fame numbers.
Like, what are we doing? Why, like, Harold Baines is in the damn Hall of Fame, but Dale Murphy can't get some love. It's asinine. I hate it, but yeah, Dale Murphy should be in the Hall of Fame. Book it.
I'm gonna tell you a guy that is going to the Hall of Fame guaranteed. My number three, Dwayne Wade. That's the only number three there is, in my opinion. Chicago kid, Southside, born and raised. Dwayne Wade, Wade County. greatest athlete to ever come through the city of Miami. And Miami's had a lot of great athletes come through it, but nobody's been better than Dwayne Wade. Just the consummate pro, the ultimate warrior, great human being, great family man, great father, great husband from what we've seen. And one of the greatest champions in NBA history.
And someone else he can add to his accolades, already got beat by East Carolina University.
He did get beat by East Carolina University as a player from Marquette. You're absolutely right on
yes.
that.
Yes. Yes.
I like how you tied that in. I like how you tied that in, Jay.
You like that?
I like
you that. You like that? But yeah, Artie, let's talk a little bit about the American Athletic Conference tournament. Then we'll start to get into the Greenville Regional a little bit. I can't say this enough. What a turnaround this team. I mean, there was times where I was like, hell, like we might be like the 5-6 seed in the conference tournament. We go 20-4.
Yeah, you're not far off. Yes.
We go 20-4 in the conference play. And really, I mean, after that Tulane series, we lost to NC State, and then we dropped one game against Cincinnati, and then we haven't lost a game since we lost that one game to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And after we lost that game to Cincinnati, we were like, well, we got to sweep a lot of teams. We got to have a good record. We can't lose but like two more games the rest of the season. And what do we know? They went 18 straight.
Go
ahead.
I was going to say that's what we were saying. We were on this podcast talking about, okay, how many do we need to win? Do we need to win 14, 15, 16? We're not going to win out, but, you know, we have to win something close to winning out. And then they actually messed around and won out. Like, they actually did the damn thing and just completely won out. I don't like giving you – too much credit, but I got to give you credit because you did call it. You absolutely did call it. You came out here and you said it might have been a little bit of, you know, fucking. I'm just gonna say it, and I'm just gonna call it, and then, you know, EC's gonna win out. I don't know if you actually believed that they were gonna win out, but you called it, and I'm gonna give you your credit.
Artie, actually, so yeah, I think we recorded the day that ECU was playing NC State that Tuesday. Mm-hmm. At State, they lost. They were getting beat pretty badly when we were recording.
Yeah.
And I said, they've got to win out, or they've got to win a lot of games.
I was saying 14. I said they had to go 14-4.
At that point, they only had 14 games left.
Right. So 10, and I think it was 10-4, I said.
And I said they had to get at least 11.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you know, they go on a run, win 18 straight. Artie, this is the first time since ECU's joined the American Athletic Conference, and I think it's just the second time in American Conference history that a team has won both the regular season championship and the conference tournament. So I think Louisville was the last team to do it back in, I want to say, 2011, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So the first year of it, and Louisville went on to make it to Omaha that year, I believe. Jacob Jenkins Cowart, dude is a man on a mission. And guess what? He's a freshman.
Dude's coming back.
What a year. And this guy got snubbed.
And
snubbed harder than NC State.
We got a lot of sophomores on this team too, though. Like, we're not that old of a team. We have a lot of sophomores on this team that make up a big bulk of our power and what we are as a core of a team. So this team is young.
Oh yeah, for sure. But Jacob Jenkins Cowart named MVP of the tournament. Dude had 5 hits, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, and I mean that play he made out in right field just going out there, laying out. Dude can ball.
Mm-hmm.
Dude can ball. And, I can't say enough about him. It really is a shame that they didn't give him at least second team props in the regular season.
Jenkins Cowart?
Yeah.
I mean, he got snubbed, but he went out and he showed it in the conference.
He proved him wrong.
He proved everybody wrong. And just like I said earlier, I like the way that we came out and we dominated. It was just dominating fashion in this conference tournament. It just absolutely no prisoners, nothing being, you know, taken for granted. We knew exactly what was out in front of us. We knew exactly what we needed to do. We knew what the job was. We knew what the task was at hand. And we just got it done. Pure and simple. We're the best team. We're going to show you we're the best team. We don't care what you got. We don't care who's in your bullpen. We don't care what your lineup is. We don't care who you got coaching. It doesn't matter. We got the best coach. We got the best players. We're going to prove it. And they did that. Yep. And it was just exactly what you want to see going into postseason play. It was just beautiful baseball to watch.
And need I remind everybody that we're doing this without a guy that was a surefire first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're doing all of this without that guy. Just imagine, and I don't want to play the game where you say just imagine, because maybe this team doesn't come together like they have. Maybe they host a regional, but maybe they don't have this amazing winning streak and this big story of what they are now. But this team has come together. They've battled through adversity all year long. All year long. Josh Moylan had a rough streak at the plate, still getting on base, just couldn't get any hits. Dude had two triples this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big dude to have two triples. You have Bryson Worrell. Dude is mashing at the plate, throwing guys out at home with a laser of an arm. I mean, all these guys now are playing to the top of their potential.
And another thing I'll add is so surreal, because we are exactly where we thought we would be at the beginning of the season. At the beginning of the season, ECU's coming in, ranked top 15. Where we are right now as a top 8 seed nationally and hosting in Greenville, that's exactly what everybody thought we would be. But going through the season the way we went through it, having to go through the, you know, ebbs and flows, the ups and downs, and then still putting ourselves in this position, it just feels different. It feels different. It feels sweeter. It feels surreal. Because, yes, this is what we thought we were going to be anyway. But yep. Then it's also like, oh, wow, we actually did it. Like we still accomplished our goals, even though we had gone through some of the most tumultuous of times this season.
Yeah, and Artie, that's the one thing that, like, I really didn't think about it until you just said it. The way ECU season has gone is very reminiscent to me of how the Braves season last year went. I mean, the Braves weren't over 500 until August.
Mm-hmm.
They went on a hot streak. Like, they were scorching hot in the month of August. They got hot right at the right time. And the rest is history. They went on to win a ship.
They didn't let go. They just kept going with it.
Everybody was like, oh, well, they'll lose in this round. They'll lose in this round. They'll lose in this round. They never lost. They lost games. But they ended up winning the ultimate prize.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Artie, ECU's just 5 wins away from getting to where they want to be. That's all that stands between them.
And it feels real again. Like it legitimately feels real again. In a season where it felt like we could pack it in, it legitimately feels real again. It feels like Omaha is a legitimate chance. Like, not just a maybe. Like, a legitimate thing.
Yeah. It's insane. Artie, I'm at a loss of words with how great I feel right now about this team. This team, honestly, Nebraska is the goal.
Yes.
Getting them to that city in Nebraska, that's the goal. Getting to the college baseball Mecca, that's the goal. But at this point, where we are, I would say, you know, given where we were a month and a half ago, if you told me we're sitting here right now talking about being a top 8 seed in the country, I'd have laughed at you. but I'm just enjoying the ride. Like, I'm just being optimistic.
I think you got to.
I'm not down. I'm not worried about anything. Whatever happens is going to happen. I want it to happen. This seems like the perfect storybook season for it to happen. But right now, I'm just letting it happen.
You know, it's a great team playing with house money, and that's probably the best situation. That's the best situation you could be in, is to have a great team.
No pressure.
Playing with house money.
There's no pressure.
There's no better situation to be in.
4 weeks ago, guys, this team was said, "Hey, they may not even make the tournament at all." Now they're a top eight seed. Mm-hmm. They're ranked two spots higher now by D1 Baseball than they were ranked at the beginning of the season. All is good in the world. All is good in the world. Artie, let's talk a little bit about this Greenville Regional.
Let's do it.
So ECU, of course, is the one seed in the regional.
Mm-hmm.
You got the University of Virginia, the Cavaliers, number two seed. Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers.
Mm-hmm.
Cavaliers and Chanticleers. I almost said Volunteers. They're the number one seed nationally. And then Coppin State. What is Coppin State?
I don't know what Coppin State is.
The Golden Eagles?
To be honest with you. Is that what they are? Yeah. They're the Eagles. Coppin State Eagles.
I pulled that out.
Out of the MEAC. So shout out to the MEAC.
All right. Let's go through it a little bit. We'll start with ECU. We already know kind of how the season went. ECU. 42-18, 20-4 in the American. I mean, we all know who to watch out for. Bryson Worrell, Jacob Jenkins Cowart. I think we see a big weekend from Josh Moylan. And when I say big, I mean, I think Josh Moylan is going to tear the cover off the ball this weekend. Pitching wise, I mean, CJ Mayhew kind of had a dud on Sunday. Didn't go too long. Hopefully he's rested up for Friday and can get us the first win. You know, at this point, I might be contemplating, do we go with somebody else other than CJ Mayhew? Save CJ for that game two.
Save him. Yeah. I would agree with you if that is the case. I think a team like Coppin State, I mean, they finished 24-28. They did win the MEAC. I know they finished 17-4 or something like that in the MEAC conference. I think this is a case where they're happy to be here. Obviously, they're going to play their best brand of baseball. They're going to bring it. They're not going to lay down for us. You know, they're absolutely going to bring it. But them bringing it and us bringing it is two different things. I mean, like you said before we got on the show, you know, Coppin State, welcome to the big dance. Welcome to the show. I mean, this is not going to be a favorable game for them. I think everybody's going to have a good day for East Carolina, if I'm being honest with you. I don't think anybody's going to have that difficult of a day versus Coppin State. To me, the real tournament is Virginia, Coastal Carolina, the winner of that, and then who East Carolina's going to face from Virginia, Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, if I'm Cliff Godwin, I'm probably running out. I don't know. I might throw out Josh Groves on Friday night. Or Friday afternoon, I should say.
And I don't say any of that to say that you're taking Coppin State easily. No, not at all.
But you're saying
you're going to play your best brand of baseball. But it's just, to me, it's not going to be, you know, past.
You're saving your best arm.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be a game past the fifth or sixth inning. At least it shouldn't be.
Not to mention, I mean, Quinnipiac a couple years ago beat us in the first game, but then we went on to win the regional. But
right.
I'm thinking. You're setting yourself up. CJ Mayhew pitched on Sunday. He usually pitches on Friday night, and that's it. Let him get another day of rest. Kind of back on the schedule. Save his arm. I that's who I would go with. I would go with Josh Groves, Jake Hunter, somebody like that. And if it needs to be a quick bullpen game, let it be.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, it's not. Let's not like. Let's just do what we need to do to get the wins, and I have a feeling our offense can really do what they need to do. Just looking at Coppin State, they're I'm trying to find their team ERA. I mean, they'll probably throw, I would say they'll probably throw Jordan Hamburg at us. Dude's got a 4.04 ERA. Started 12 games, one complete game, one shutout, 62 and a third innings pitched, gave up 59 hits, 38 runs. I mean, 86 strikeouts, that's pretty decent. But at the same time, like, we've talked about it all season long. You need depth, and ECU's got depth. I'm sorry, Coppin State. I don't see it.
Right. If we're being realistic, this should definitely be something that.
Whoa.
What do you say?
Jordan Hamburg, also their best pitcher, also leads the team in batting average.
Wow.
He's a DH. 355 average, 464 on base percentage, 630 slug. I mean, dude to 8 bombs this year, 34 RBIs. I mean, what in the world? What is going on up there in the MEAC?
In a perfect world, because this is a double elimination, you've got ECU winning their first two games, and they're waiting on a after that rematch of Coastal and Virginia. They're waiting on the winner of that rematch. That's what we're looking at in the perfect world here. So,
I agree.
But I definitely think they get it done against Coppin State.
All right. So we've talked about Coppin State. Let's talk Coastal Carolina. So Coastal Carolina, they'll play the second game on Friday against UVA. And this year, not a bad year. Played in the Sun Belt.
Right.
Went 36-18-1. Their one game that was a tie, I guess, or didn't get played. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to find it. Anyways, they had a couple games canceled, one against State, one against Xavier. Nothing really stands out. They got swept by Carolina, lost to UNCW. Wake Forest beat them 4-3. That's a good game. They hammered Clemson, but Clemson just fired their coach. Then they lost to Wake Forest again, or they lost to Wake Forest later on in the season. Beat College of Charleston. That's a team that we had they beat College of Charleston twice. So there's another common opponent. And then they won a series against Georgia Southern. So, not a bad season.
No.
I mean, they're the former Cinderellas. They've been on the scene quite a bit since then. Nothing, I'll be honest with you, nothing about them really, I don't think anything really scares me. Just looking at them, I mean, they've got talent. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're best pitcher is this Reed Van Scoter. Guy's got a 3.06 ERA, 14 starts, 82 and a third innings. I mean, nothing's really like standing out to me about him. I'm not overlooking Coastal. I think they could give Virginia a run for their money. They're not a team that like really bothers me or scares me. Their best hitter, Tyler Johnson, dude's got a 366 average, 11 doubles, 17 home runs. Now, Coastal and Virginia both have some power that is kind of frightening. Our pitchers have to be spot on this week.
Yeah, when this regional came out, I said, wow, this is favorable. Outside of, a Virginia, like you said, has very good hitters. This is a very favorable regional, in my opinion. I don't know too much about Coastal. I haven't really followed them that much this year. I know they've earned their way in. I know they had a very good season in the Sun Belt. I know they play teams well, you know, and they're going to give anybody in this regional a handful. But as far as them being able to win it, I'm like you. They don't really scare me. I'm not really too nervous about a Coastal Carolina. I think they will play us well, but I do not see them, you know, with the way that we're playing, with the way that we know we can hit, the way that we know we can pitch at this point, I don't see a Coastal Carolina beating us in this regional. Like I said, I think they can play with us, but I don't think they can beat us. So I'm not too nervous about them. To me, you know, the only threat, and I don't even think Virginia is a threat, but they are the only threat, in my opinion, in this regional as far as being able to walk away from this regional as a winner because of what they can do on the offensive side of the ball. So to me, I'm with you on Coastal. I don't know too much about them. I do think they can compete. I don't think they can win.
Yeah, the thing about Virginia is Virginia and ECU have had kind of opposite seasons. I'm looking at it. And
Virginia started hot and then kind of finished a little slow?
Yeah, Virginia started 1, 2, 3. Virginia started 22-1.
Jesus. I didn't know it was like that for Virginia. Who were they ranked, like top five?
Probably.
At one point? They had to be top five in the nation at one point.
Yeah. And then.
Wow, 22-1.
And then I'm. So, yeah, then.
But then again, that's scary because, you know, that's a team that can go on runs. That's one of those teams, even though they might not have finished strong, that's a team that can go on a run.
At one point, they were 26. At one point, they were 26-3, and then they lost five straight to Miami, Old Dominion, Pittsburgh, lost a series to Pittsburgh, lost to VCU, a team that ECU beat in a series. They did sweep Carolina. And right now they're 1-4 in their last five. And Clemson, who has been down bad, they're over the past couple of weeks, they lost the series to them.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna be honest with you. The ACC is a hell of a baseball conference.
Yeah,
and we just have to acknowledge that. I mean, you got Wake Forest in, you got Carolina in, you got Virginia in, you got Miami in, you got State that everybody in the country seems to think should be in. So I mean, the ACC is, and State finished 14-15 in ACC. By the way, people, State had a losing record in ACC, and people are crying for them to be into the tournament. So that just lets you know how good the Atlantic Coast Conference is at baseball. So this Virginia team is no slouch. I know they might have not finished strong, but they deserve our respect. Everyone in this regional deserves our respect. And Virginia is definitely a team that we have to look at and say, okay, this is, they play in, outside of the SEC, they play in the best conference in baseball, bar none. They play in the best conference in baseball outside of the SEC. So this is a team that you absolutely have to respect. And no matter what you see on paper, Virginia can bring it. And Virginia can score with any of them and then keep up with any of them. So that's the matchup to me. It's like, okay, I'm expecting an ECU-Virginia final.
That's
the matchup I'm looking at.
Here's the thing, Artie. I'm going to give you some by the numbers about this Virginia team. So this team only played 17 road games this year. They're 7-10 in those road games, whereas they're 29-5 at home.
Mm.
Now, with that being said, this East Carolina team was 15-10 on the road and 23-8 at home. So what that goes to show you is we need all of Pirate Nation to get loud and bring it this weekend.
And they will. Pirate Nation will be there.
I'm not worried about it.
The problem is going to be not having enough tickets. That's going to be the problem.
Well, they've sold over, I think last time I heard it was about 4,400 all session tickets.
Mm-hmm.
As of about 4:00 today. So, I mean, the place is going to be sold out.
It is.
Place is going to be sold packed. Out. Mm-hmm. Jungle's going to be packed. It's going to be hopping. I feel bad for the left fielders. Megaphones, get after them. Get after them. Artie, I think it's about time we send it over to our interview. We have an awesome interview. We haven't even mentioned it. Steven Schock, a.k.a. Big Donkey 47 on Twitter.
I got to ask him about that Twitter handle, too. That's Man. A phenomenal Twitter handle. Big Donkey 47. I like that.
This dude, he's just become a cult sensation over the past year. From Dippin' Dots to being a crazy closer for the Virginia Cavaliers last year. Dude is dude's another level. We're going to sit down with him, talk to him for about 30 minutes, and we hope y'all enjoy it. But first, Artie, let me tell you about the CBD bundle, the energy bundle. Artie, we know the Greenville Regional, I haven't checked the forecast yet. I don't want to jinx anything. We know that games can be played at all hours of the night in the Greenville Regional because it never fails. Weather becomes an issue in Greenville this time of year.
Yeah, it does.
So
it monsoons need, down there.
If you need something to kind of get you re-energized and boost you up for the next day, Artie, this is how you do it. Incorporate Can I Boost into your daily routine to maximize your workout performance or your daily productivity levels. Experience the benefits of both CBD oil and CBD spray. Our broad-spectrum CBD oil vitamin B12 supplements, that's a mouthful, offer an effective way to consume CBD. Dropping the liquid under your tongue makes these oils fast-acting. Our broad-spectrum CBD oral sprays are discreet and easy to administer, making them perfect for when you're on the go. Artie, this stuff, it's got caffeine in it too, so it'll definitely get you going. I use it all the time. I'm a guy that stays up way too late at night, and I get up same time every day, stay up till 2 a.m., get up at 7. It's not good. It is not good, y'all.
You're still doing this. You're still staying. See, I'm a midnight guy. I'm midnight 12:30, and I feel like I'm too late.
See, but then that's the thing about Artie. If he doesn't get his beauty rest, he turns into what we call Marty.
Yeah, I'm going to be cranky. This is why you need the CBD oil, those people.
And he gets real cranky. So Artie might take some Can I Sleep so he can fall asleep. And then he adds on the Can I Boost the next morning. So he's not cranky. We don't want to deal with Marty. Nobody wants to deal with Marty.
I don't like Marty.
Nobody likes Marty. Nobody. I don't like Marty. Go to canibrands.com. Use promo code Boneyard25 for 25% off your entire order. Once again, Artie, Boneyard25 at canibrands.com. Go there, check it out. Let us know what you think. We love it. I swear by it. So do that. Now on to our interview with Steven Schock. This week on the Boneyard Podcast, everybody, we are excited to be joined by none other than maybe the biggest name in college baseball Twitter altogether, baseball content. This guy is killing the game. Steven Schock, host of the Schock Factor on D1 Baseball. Welcome to the Boneyard Podcast, my friend.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. You know, it took me a little bit, but we finally got there. That's what matters.
Absolutely. Pleasure is all ours, man. All ours.
Yeah, so just kind of jumping right into it. There's a lot going on. College World Series starts this week, regional weekend. You've been high on the Pirates. They're playing your Cavaliers this weekend, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
What is it about this Pirate baseball team that you're like, that really just kind of gets you going?
They just have fun. And like, whenever someone needs to make a big play, they always do, which is like, I love that. Like, are y'all cool if I cuss on your podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Please. We do.
All right, cool. Just making sure. But just like seeing a number of guys that step up, like, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of pissed when I saw UVA and ECU might be playing for each other because, you know, that's a big conflict of interest for me because I love my guys at UVA and I love y'all down there. And like, it's just a matter of ECU has fun with the game, which, you know, That's what I'm all about right there, is just having fun with it, not taking anything too serious, but also still kicking people's tail in when I get the chance. So that kind of seems right up there, Allie.
For sure.
You know, kind of leading like right off of that though. I mean, you're a UVA guy. You're a Cavalier. So who do you got winning this regional, man? I mean, who do you think is going to come out
right,
I mean,
after?
ECU's,
wow.
Kind of, yeah. ECU's had this phenomenal season, you know, to end it. But you know, Virginia's right there knocking on the door. They're playing a great ACC. So who you got?
Ah, geez. I'm taking UVA because that's my bread and butter. I've been a fan of them since I was like 12 years old, so I gotta stay true to it. While I do hope all the games are very competitive and fun, mm-hmm. I do hope UVA pulls it out. And you know, that's like, I'm bummed that this was the regional selection, because one, Greenville, North Carolina is kind of far away from me, but also just the fact that it's two teams I both wanted to see them go far, and now my hand is forced, you know.
Yeah. Now, that being said, are you coming down to Greenville for the regional, or are you staying up?
So it really all depends, because I'm coaching a high school baseball team and we are in contention for the state championship. Ooh. So we have a game tomorrow that it's an elimination game. If we don't win, it's another situation where my hand is being forced. I don't get to make the decision for myself. I have to, like, you know, I can't delay it. Got to happen fast. So if we lose tomorrow, I will be very sad, but also I'll be okay, because I know I'll be able to make it to the regional. But if not, if we win, then we play on Saturday night, or I think it might be Monday. So once I figure that shit out, I'll know. But I'm going to try to get down there if I can.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, are you gonna bring a CRV? Or are you gonna bring a RAV4? What you gonna drive?
I think I'm more the minivan type. You know, that whole travel story, that's just an absolute nightmare travel story that you get in college baseball. But at least it was like, it would have sucked a lot more if y'all did not win. Like,
oh yeah,
No one could be that sad about that shitty situation. That's more of just like, this fucking sucks, but we're gonna plunge through it because this is college baseball. We're gonna let the seniors drive the rental cars because they're the only ones close enough in age, and just see what happens.
Now, we have a Twitter question, to both of us, but we'll kind of just go ahead and throw it in. We'll ask you first, and then we'll answer on later on the podcast, but. What is your worst travel experience? Did you have one playing ball?
Yeah. So the worst travel experience was my freshman year. I played at Appalachian State University in North Carolina.
Snub.
And we played
in Boone.
Yeah. Interesting fucking place. more fun if you're on shrooms. I never got that experience. So I don't know. But we played at the University of Alabama at Troy, which was a 14-hour drive. I got my first save opportunity, my first blown save. It was a situation where I pitched two innings, and the last inning, the ninth inning, I guess we'd call it the last inning in baseball, I hit two guys in a row. We brought in another guy who hit three guys in a row, and then we ended up losing. And so I got – as you might know, I punch myself a fair amount when I pitch, and I punch myself a good bit that game, like pretty good. And I had just a pounding headache, and the game ended at like 5 p.m. And they're like, all right, we're driving through the night. We got a sleeper bus. We're driving through the night. And I just had this pounding headache, and I fell asleep for the first half of the trip. Then I woke up, had all this energy, still just a blistering headache. I might have concussed myself, and we stopped at this McDonald's at 2 a.m. in Mississippi, or not Mississippi. I don't remember where it was, but it was somewhere in the middle of ass nowhere. And I remember going into the play place and sitting in one of those tubes because it was the only place that was dead silent. And I didn't even get food. And I love McDonald's. That's how bad of a trip this was. We end up getting back at like, I want to say 7 a.m. the next day.
Oh.
And I just showed up, didn't go to school for 2 days. That's for damn sure. And yeah, that was about it.
Wow.
Sheesh, that sounds terrible.
Dude gave himself a conky and then slept on the bus and then was like, damn, I've got to be on this bus for another 7 hours. Just concussed.
It sucked. It was.
Now, Steve, let me ask you this. Big Donkey 47. All right. Where the hell does this Twitter handle come from? Explain us the story with Big Donkey 47. What is this all about?
It's actually not as interesting as you think. So 47 was the number I always chose. I wanted number 25 growing up because of Jay Gibbons, which, I mean, everybody knows who that is. He was my favorite player. He was not very good, but he had cool hair, so I liked him. And that number was taken on just about every team I played for, so I was like, you know what, screw it. Just give me 47. No one wants that number. I'll take it. And so that's how I got the 47. The Big Donkey was my freshman year of high school. I came in, I was 6'5", 160. And
oh, wow.
I went to a private high school. Just, I'm not a fancy guy, but they thought I'd be smart, tricked them. And they had a buffet for lunches. And so I would just pound that shit. Like literally every day I was eating a lot and I started lifting. And by the end of the year, I was still 6'5", but 215 pounds. So I put on 55 pounds in one school year. And my coach started calling me Big Donkey. I was like, all right, I'll roll with it.
That makes sense.
That's great. Now, you've had this kind of insane rise to like internet fame and college. It's a very niche fame that you have, but I mean, you've amassed over 65,000 followers on Twitter. I mean, what is this? And it's really all happened in the last year or so. What has this year been like for you?
It's been a weird year for sure. Cause you know, I was never someone who like used social media a ton. Like I would tweet stupid shit every time it came to my brain. Cause like, I don't know. So I would tweet like, you know, it's Michael Bublé season during Christmas time and shit like that. And get like 5 likes, but whatever. It was for me. I like that. And then I just had the interview and people started following me. And I was like, if I can make money from this, I might as well roll with it. And so I think I had gained 15,000 followers like overnight and got verified. And I was like, well, I guess I owe these people something. Got to give them a show. So, I didn't know what to do. So I would just tweet about diarrhea and things like that. Anything I could do to make people laugh. Because, like, I like making people laugh. Like, that's what I'm here to do. That's why I feel like I'm on this earth. So I figured might as well provide some entertainment. And then when college baseball season came about, I was like, well, I'm just going to share highlights and the shit that I think is cool. Because you know, college baseball is pretty underserved. Like podcasts like what you guys are doing are great. But as a whole, like it's kind of hard to find the good stuff in college baseball. And there's so many like networks and subscriptions you'd have to pay for to like no one wants to pay $30 per subscription to see one cool play, you know? So I'll do it. I'll pay those $30 a bunch of times to share those cool plays. And, you know, I've had a few networks get upset with me saying I'm stealing their content, like saying like, oh, this is against copyright rules. And every time I'm just like, fuck that. It's like, you know, oh, I'm sorry that this kid sent his highlight to me and he wants me to share it. My bad.
Right.
Sorry for the free fucking press.
That's like that's like somebody came after us. Because they apparently clipped a video of the Pat McAfee show.
Right. They clipped a video of somebody else's video.
Somebody sent it to me. I posted the video from our account. And then they were like, all in our mentions. Oh, where did I see this? Somewhere else. They saw it on one of the radio stations in Greenville. Fuck that radio station. Sorry. But that's what they saw. Like, I was like, yo, like, come on. What, like, what are we?
Literally, all I have to do is hit this one fucking button on my
exactly.
phone, and I can screen record something. And I'm not saying I'm the fucking Pac-12 network filming this game. Like,
no,
I just saw this sick fucking play, and I, like, for a long time, I would just film my TV. Like, I would literally sit there and post a clip. Like, I'd be in the reflection like this, like. Okay. And it's like, who gives a shit? I'm just I'm just trying to promote the game and promote the fun shit that happens. Like,
yeah, and that's like us. We're trying to promote ECU, and like, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's one of those things where everybody benefits. I'm not stealing someone's content because the content belonged to the players in my mind. Like, for me, the stupidest thing was I played in the ACC. There's a little network surrounding that that would not give me a free subscription to watch myself. It's like, look,
ridiculous.
If they want to run the fucking conditioning test, then they can own the fucking content. But if I'm the one who has to run the conditioning test, do all this work, I should be able to get a little chunk of that change.
How do you think, like, how do you think the NIL, like, you would have been able to kill it right now if you were still in school with the NIL.
I walked in the 2002 Ford Taurus. But nah, I think the NIL stuff is sick because the NCAA is just a bunch of suits who have, like, they get a shitload of money because they film kids. Like, I grew up in a generation where that was fucking weird if you did that. But that's beside the matter. Like, I think student athletes, the ones who go through it, shouldn't have to eat freaking ramen noodles every night. Like, I'm not one of the athletes that came from, like, a super affluent family. Like, I'm just a random kid. I paid my way through most of my college, like, and then I let my arm take me the rest of the way. And everyone's like, oh, well, that's payment enough. You got a degree. Well, guess what? The degree didn't come with $5 billion taped to the back of it. Like,
yeah.
Let these players make money and, like, survive their way through school. Like, they're – and, like, for all the people who are like, oh, they got to be treated like normal students and, like, you know, they don't deserve special treatment. Guess what? No one's fucking sending you death threats if you fail a math exam because no one put money on that. No one's tuning in to watch you fucking sweat through a math exam. I don't think there's a market for that.
Like, that'd be great. I would love to see Artie's dyslexic ass try to take a math test.
It'd be terrible. I swear it would be terrible. Now, Steven, speaking of the NCAA, though, they feel like the one institution that hates NC State more than ECU hates NC State.
Oh, I love it.
And as Pirates, we can care less. We don't give a damn about State missing the tournament. But how do you feel about NC State not making the NCAAs?
It's so fucking stupid because the NCAA will put out video after video and get retweet after retweet of Tommy Tanks, who was an 18, maybe 19-year-old fucking kid. And they're going to be like, just market the fuck out of him and promote the shit out of him. And then when you have the opportunity to put him on the biggest stage, set the home run record even fucking higher for freshmen, why, like, how stupid can you be to not put them in? Like, I get it. They tweeted mean things at you after you fucked them. But guess what? Ex-girlfriends do that too. Like, that shit happens. Move on. Don't play puppet with their life.
You know?
I think, granted, they didn't win as many games as I think they should have. But at the same time, like, if you're going to try to profit off a kid like that as much as they are doing and as much as they – not even trying, as much as they just straight up are doing, maybe let them play more. I don't know. I didn't get my degree in marketing, but I think that's a pretty simple concept.
Yeah.
I see, as already mentioned, and as you could probably tell from our tweets, we don't give a shit.
Yeah, we don't care. I personally think they should be in, but then again, I don't give a damn. Okay.
Last year when they got eliminated or when everything went down last year, we put out a whole episode about how my finest quote ever said on this podcast, I shit you not, This is it verbatim. They were having a great time in Omaha. I know that, like, it sucks, but I'm happy that they're done. The only thing that would have made it better is if I got to watch them on live television have their hearts broken and stomped on by losing in the College World Series. That would have been the only thing that made it better.
Well, if you wanted a live video of it, you'd have to be in their hotel rooms when they're reading a tweet at 2:45. Yeah,
that sucks. But
like, dude, imagine. Oh God, it's so lame. And like, oh, I'm not being nice about the NCAA sometimes, but
you can't be. Like, you can't be.
It's like you're making fun of a kid for being a booger picker, and then he keeps picking his nose. It's like, who am I supposed to not give a wedgie to?
Now, Steven, switching gears a little bit, talk to me about Dippin' Dots.
Yeah, that was that was weird, huh?
Yeah.
that whole thing was strange. Obviously, like, I get a little delirious after I pitch, so that whole interview. Well,
the punching yourself in the head will do that.
Yeah, that'll do it. I had like some elbow problems going into that game, so they literally, it was the postseason, so it was like, hey, just take a bunch of pain pills. And I was like, all right, cool. They gave me pain pills. I took them. So I was fucking, I don't know where my head was, but that's literally like, honestly, where my head is most of the time. Like, I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky guy who just tries to have fun. So when they asked me what's going through my head, I just answered what was going through my head. And like, this dipshit fan was yelling, oh, I'm going to give you free Dippin' Dots if you blow it. And it's like, well, that's what I was thinking about, because it's like, damn, how great of a situation is this? It's a win-win. Like, yeah. I'll get free shit if I lose, and I'll get money if I win. Like, obviously, I want the money. But the funniest thing to me was, like, a month after it happened, I got a DM on Instagram from this kid who was like, I'm the guy who heckled you about Dippin' Dots. You need to give me credit for everything. And I was just like, well, dipshit, you weren't the one punching people out and punching people through. No. So eat my beans. You're just a dork. And he called me a typical entitled UVA bitch. And I said, you were just, I had some choice words back for him. So it was fun.
This is premium content you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, I sent screenshots to his mom on Facebook. I don't care. I don't care. Like, I'll go savage with it. Real quick.
What did she say?
She said, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. I'm going to talk to him. And I said, you better, otherwise it's fine.
You didn't say, yo, slide me those digits.
Right. That's what I was afraid. That's what I thought you was going to go with that story. Like, hold up. I'll talk to you.
And then send that screenshot to him.
No, I'm not that weird. Come on. I'm weird, but not. I got a line too.
Oh, man. This is fantastic. Oh, my gosh. So, Steven, tell me. Is there a team that you see out there that may make this miraculous run outside of ECU to Omaha?
Honestly, I don't know what it is. And, like, something about the Campbell Camels stands out to me. You know, I know you guys had great games against them. Mm-hmm. But so you guys have seen it firsthand that they're a strange team, you know. And I think weird goes a long way. And so I could see them doing something special, but also, like, what you got to remember is I wouldn't know it was special until after the season ends, because, you know, no one pays attention to it. But some team from the Pac-12, like Oregon State, I could see just killing it and, like, being in Omaha. And because, you know, every year a team from the Pac-12 is in Omaha, one or two. And it's like, who are you guys? What's your names? Like, were you good this year? Mm-hmm. And like, I see some success coming out of there. I don't know why. So don't actually quote me on any of this. And if you're one of the dipshits who like to make me try to feel stupid on the internet and like clip this and expose me, guess what? I don't care. I already know I'm fucking stupid. You aren't going to fool me.
Yeah, I mean, we say all the time, like whatever we say on this podcast, we edit barely enough just to get everything to flow right. That's it.
Exactly.
So if we say something stupid, it's in there.
But Steven, kind of going off that though, can anybody stop the monster that is Tennessee? Like, do you think anybody can beat Tennessee? Because that's a monster of a team.
Yeah, that's interesting because they're so fucking good. And, like, I just don't know. Like, everything – like, they're a very arrogant team, but they're also just so damn good at baseball. So it's like, what can we really do? Like, teams might go in and think, like, oh, I'm going to embarrass these guys. Like, I'm going to make them look stupid. It's like – but then you can't. So it's like, what are we doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I already asked me the same question before you came on, and I said, I mean, they're good. And he was like, they're good?
They're good. Like, that's it. They're good.
That's it.
They're more than good.
Now, Virginia, I was looking at Virginia's record, and I mean, at one point they were, what, 23-4 or something like that? Like, they got off to, like, a really hot start. Kind of like the opposite of what happened with ECU.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there?
See, that's one of those things where I just have no clue what's going on. Like, in any college baseball game, anything can happen, and, like, no one knows what's going on. They're having a season where anything can happen, and no one knows what's going on. Like, I think they're going to be good because I know Coach Oak is just, like, as a leader, he's one of the best in the nation. Like, he's got his shit so together. Like, there were countless times where he would talk to me and I'd be ready to, like, pound my head through a brick wall. Like, he motivates teams so well. And, like, it's like he's a grandmaster at chess playing the right pieces at the right times. It's just a matter of those right pieces are going to perform or not. And I think, you know, they have a lot of older leadership, but also a lot of young leadership, which is interesting. So I'm hoping they'll piece it together. The season has definitely been strange for him because, like, last year we had the opposite season where we sucked at the beginning and we were really good at the end. Not the complete opposite, because I wouldn't say they suck right now. I think they're still a very good baseball team. Just they haven't played to the caliber that I think they can play at. So I'm hoping they can turn around here down the stretch, even though it would be against my friends down at ECU.
we're kind of hoping they don't. But yeah,
absolutely.
Steven, I've had a blast. This may be, we say it all the time, but I'm really feeling it. Like this may be one of the best, this is definitely the most interesting interview that we've done.
I've never laughed this much through an interview. So no. This has been fantastic.
Appreciate that, fellas.
Yeah, man. Well, plug where people can find you. We've already talked about your Twitter handle, but, plug your content and everything you want to.
You can follow me on Twitter at BigDonkey47. Or on Instagram at Steven_Shock, I think. You can also buy a home from me at Shock Realty on Instagram, because I do that too.
Nice.
So
nice.
I'm just going to plug it all away while I can. You know,
Where are you at now? You're in Delaware?
Yeah, I'm in Delaware. I mean, fourth lowest property taxes in the nation. What more could you want?
Hey.
How is living in Delaware, by the way? Is that nice living up there?
It is. Like, the golf is incredible. There's beaches everywhere. It's nice.
What's your handicap?
They're everything. It's terrible. I'm terrible.
Well,
I hit both of us.
We'll need to get you down to North Carolina. We'll need to get you down to North Carolina, and the three of us will go play golf. We'll then go to Greenville. We'll have some sup dogs. Have you been to Greenville?
I never have. I've heard about Sub Dogs, though, so I know.
Sub Dogs is the spot. Yeah. If we make it, we're not going to be there this weekend, but if we make it to the Super Regionals, we're going. You need to get your ass back down here.
I'll find a way.
And we'll go to Sub Dogs. First round's on me. How about that?
Right. Sounds good to me. I'm not one to say no to free stuff.
All right. Steven. It's been an honor. Thank you for joining us on the Boneyard Podcast. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you all for having
me. Yeah, man.
No problem. I appreciate the time.
All right.
Artie, what an interview. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's I'm still laughing from that interview, man. That interview was incredible. Like, that was incredible. That was I can only hope Pirate Nation enjoyed listening to that half as much as we enjoyed doing that interview. That's one of the great ones. That's automatically top five. That's a top five interview for me right there.
I'm at a loss.
I've never laughed that much during an interview. That was pure entertainment for me.
I don't even know where to begin. Like, we had such a good time. Steven's an awesome dude. I mean, he's one of us. He's one of us.
Like, I'll tell you, a lot of times during these interviews, like, I feel like there needs to be a certain level of professionalism. I want to bring a certain level of professionalism. That went right out the window within the first 30 seconds. Like, that was chill. It was calm. It was relaxed.
Yeah, that went out the window.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. Like, it was just the boys having a conversation about boy shit.
That's what this podcast is. Like, I'm sorry if you don't like the language on here. Sometimes it gets rowdy. I guarantee when we talk about Walk the Plank, it's gonna get even worse. I promise you. But yeah, Artie, what an interview. Like, it was something that, I mean, everybody on Twitter has been interacting with this guy. Mm-hmm. For all baseball season, he's been tweeting out almost every game a highlight from ECU. It was a match made in heaven. UVA coming into Greenville this weekend in the regional. You can't beat it. Wow.
Yeah.
Artie, wow. That it's fantastic. I'm and we went longer than I thought we were. Like, he gave us all the time in the world. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was good.
But Artie, we do have some Twitter questions. We'll do some Twitter questions, and then we'll do Walk the Plank, and then we'll get out of here so that people can get back to not having to listen to two knuckleheads talk all the time. First question from Brandon Avery, friend of the podcast, like two or three time guest, one of our best friends. Most memorable bat flip celebrations generally in sports. I'll say the one that sticks out, and it's so fresh, and I talked about it earlier, when the Braves won the World Series, Jorge Soler's home run in game six against the Astros, where he hit it out of Minute Maid Park or whatever they call it now in Houston. Mm-hmm. That it wasn't even a bat flip. It was more of a bat drop. And then he looked at the Braves dugout, patted his chest, pointed, and then ran the bases. That one sticks out to me. Other one, the Sammy Sosa, like he hit the home run and then he would do this like skip jump thing.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Those stick out to me. Those are some good ones. I'm trying to think, like, outside of baseball, I mean, you got football celebrations, T.O. and Randy Moss and whatnot. So, yeah.
Yeah, it, as far as bat flips go, I definitely like the Sammy Sosa, because he had his own, like, home run routine. He had, like, a whole, like, handshake he would do with one of his guys on the team. So that's definitely one for me. It's Jose Bautista, though. Like the most memorable bat flip to me of all time is that is the most disrespectful and like most beautiful and poetic bat flip in the history of baseball, in my opinion. It really is. I mean, it's a walk-off home run. I think it was in the playoffs, right? Was that in the playoffs? In the playoffs. I mean, that bat flip, that play, and then you could just feel the energy, you could just feel the emotion in Jose Bautista. And of course, the opposing side should have been pissed off, but they couldn't do anything about it because you shouldn't have given up the pitch. So,
if I remember correctly, that was against Texas, and the very next year, he got in a fight with Rounette Odor.
Yes, he did. That was when that big brawl happened. He did get clocked, and he had a bad moment, he got clocked. But that bat flip was beautiful. It was poetic. It was disrespectful. It was everything I wanted to see. And yeah, that will be it for me. That Jose Bautista backflip with Toronto.
Toronto. His second question, Brandon has three questions. His second one, this one's pretty cut and dry for me. Thoughts on PEDs in the majors? Let them hit dingers are bad for the game. Well, it's not just the hitters that are taking PEDs. It's everybody, or it was everybody. It's harder now with all the testing. Mm-hmm. Listen, the thing about PEDs, baseball turned a blind eye for so long because their ratings were up.
Yeah.
And then when they started getting scrutinized for allowing players to take performance-enhancing drugs, that's when they started cracking down. When the government got involved, that's when they started cracking down. That was the height of baseball. I mean, the years with Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire battling it out to Barry Bonds, battling it out to see who could hit the most home runs in a season. That was big for baseball. Mm-hmm. So here's what I'll say. While I don't necessarily like it in baseball, I wish baseball would stop doing things to manipulate the game themselves, if that makes sense. Baseball has been notorious. Major League Baseball has been notorious for messing with the baseballs over the years. I mean, this year, the baseballs are dead, right? I mean, last year, the balls were flying out all over the place. Now they're trying to ring it back in and not have them go as far. So if you're going to do that and not tell the players that you're doing it, that's where I have a problem, because these players are playing to make money, right? So if you have a player who is going to make a bonus if he hits 25 home runs, but then you dial back the baseball and he only hits 15 because the baseball got changed. Baseball was played for so long and there was never really any change in the baseball. Now every year the baseball is a different baseball.
Yeah.
It's not the same. You don't go to any other sport unless you're Tom Brady and the ball is a different size.
I like the dig you did there. I hope Brandon's listening. Well, Brandon's going to listen to this.
Oh yeah, Brandon's our biggest fan.
He turned it off after that one.
See how I got in on him? Not on anybody else. Just on him. So no other sport is changing the size of the puck, the ball, anything. Baseball's not changing the size, but they're changing the components of the baseball without telling anybody. And we see it with launch angles. We see it with exit velocities, with distances. We see it. Pitchers say it feels different. And so then you have pitchers who they can't get a better grip on the ball. I say all this because MLB is doctoring the game, but they don't let the players doctor the game themselves. And what I'll say to that, I would prefer if there was no PEDs altogether. Mm-hmm. Just as a purist, I don't believe that if you use, I know that I might get some shit for this. If you use HGH, PEDs, steroids, I don't think you should be in the Hall of Fame. That's me. Now, I will say that, like I said when I started all this, pitchers and batters were all taking PEDs. So during that era, I think that, okay, it's looked on differently. So in a long way around, I really don't give a shit. Like, PEDs are not, I just don't mess with the game. Give me as pure form of a game. If everybody's going to take PEDs, if that's what they choose, okay. I don't want to know about it. But if that's what happens, that's what happens. But you've got guys that are going out there and throwing 100 miles an hour, not on PEDs. Mm-hmm. PEDs don't help you hit the ball. They just help you be stronger and stay right. healthier throughout your career.
Right. And but see, that's, you just made my argument, because PEDs don't help you hit the ball. I think PEDs should absolutely be out of the game. There are great examples of plenty of Hall of Fame players that have never used PEDs. That is, to me, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. to me is the greatest player of all time in my eyes, and never touched the substance at all. And to me, Ken Griffey Jr. is the greatest player of all time. But that's just me personally, because I love Ken Griffey Jr. But I disagree with you on guys that use PEDs shouldn't be in the Hall, just because MLB turned a blind eye. MLB made their money. They made their money off the backs of Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. And you cannot, to me, they're biting the hand that feeds. These guys fed you for years, and you turned your eye. Don't tell me you didn't know what was going on. You knew exactly what the hell was going on. You're not idiots. You knew what was going on. You turned away from it. You turned your back to it. And then now you want to come out and have a moral compass and keep these guys out of the Hall. Barry Bonds is a Hall of Famer. I'm sorry. He is. He's a Hall of Famer. He should be in the Hall. Sammy Sosa should be in the Hall. Mark McGwire should be in the Hall. All those guys should be in the Hall. They should, in my honest opinion. I think going forward, I agree. And PED should not be in the game. They should not be in the game. Obviously, they should not be in the game. But now the MLB should be in a situation where they're not turning a blind eye to it. They're actually upholding the standard and making sure that guys are not using PEDs. So that's just where I'm at on.
Yeah, and I think we're in the same spot. It might be a little homerish of me. I mean, I was a fan of, in my opinion, the greatest baseball player of his generation. And when I say that, I'm talking about Chipper Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a generational talent.
Chipper's in my top three, personally. And I love Chipper.
He was never popped, never questioned of using steroids. And so then I compare, like, some of these other guys that were in the league around the same time as him. And I'm like, well, if he had used steroids, he would be in the same conversation as them. But they're seen as better because they use steroids. So that's why I'm like, well, Chipper deserves to be in the Hall. Do these, like, Barry Bonds has his hits. Does he have as many home runs? That's where I'm like, and I'm sure there were Braves that use PEDs. I'm sure of it, but
yeah.
Oh well. So Brandon, we both think that PED should be out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
We disagree on whether you should be in the Hall of Fame, and I'm coming around on it. I am coming around on it. All right. His third question, game day preference. Would you like a defensive game? So with good pitching and it'd be like a shutout, no, perfect game. Or would you like an offensive explosion with 15 plus runs? Give me the no.
Okay. I like that.
Kind of as a baseball purist, and kind of going back off that last question, I would rather see good baseball, meaning hit the ball if you can, field the ball when you can, strike guys out. Like, I feel like if it's a close game and it's a pitcher's duel, you're going strength on strength, and eventually you're going to make one team have a batter that beats the other team. And I would rather watch that than a bunch of guys going out there pitching and looking like scrubs.
Yeah.
In a game where both teams, where there was like 57 runs scored, UCLA, Oregon State last week,
mm-hmm.
that was insane. There should never be a baseball game that's 29-25 or whatever it was. That's stupid. That's a football score, not a baseball score. So
yeah, I definitely think Jared has the right answer. But I'm not a baseball purist. I am a baseball fan. I want to see fireworks. I want to see home runs. I want to see hits. I want to see ground rule doubles, triples, singles. I want to see all of it. And I want to see it consistently. And I want to see it throughout the game. That's what I want to see. Like, I want to see that on it. I do not want to see a pitcher's duel. I'm going to turn the channel. If I'm watching a pitcher's duel and it's 1-0 and it's the eighth inning, I've already stopped watching. I'm not watching the game anymore. I don't care. I don't care to watch it. I want to see fireworks.
Another thing is, like, if you have hits, say it's not a no-no, say it's not a no-hitter, but you got teams getting hits, but then there's good fielding making plays to get guys out.
Now, I do like seeing that. Yes, I do like seeing good play. Because just a complete pitcher's duel, or just getting strikeout.
But
that bores the hell out of it.
But then
that's boring, like, as hell.
It really then becomes a duel where you're like, okay, which guy's going to mess up first?
But that is for the baseball purists. And I am not a baseball purist. I'm a baseball fan. It's two completely different things.
All right. Enough of Brandon's questions. We've given him enough airtime. Our friend Petey, he asks, with the Van Bandits road trip story, what is your worst travel experience? If you don't know, half of ECU's baseball team got stranded and they had to rent three cars, and 18 players hopped in those three cars and drove back to Greenville throughout the night. Artie, what's your worst travel story? And then I'll give mine.
Oh, man. Well, I know which one you're going to give. And that's in there. Trust me, that trip is in there. But I think I'm going to give one of my Chicago trips. Actually, you know what? No, I'm not going to do the Chicago trip. I'm going to do the trip to Texas. My family and I took a 18 and a half hour trip.
Nope. Road. Can it be me?
From Greensboro, North Carolina to Dallas, Texas. We drove.
That sucks.
We drove in a Honda Accord.
Was it the Honda Accord you used to have?
That Honda Accord. That one. We put four people in a five-seater car.
This car used to have like 500,000 miles on it, y'all.
For 18 and a half hours. When I say everybody was happy and chipper, it's like, oh, we're going to go to Texas and we're going to Dallas. It's going to be so much fun. And we get to go on this road trip. It's going to be cool. And for the first, 5 to 6 hours, it was cool. It was, scenic. And we got food and gassed up and did the whole gambit. And then around hour 8, hour 9, hour 10, hour 11, everybody's okay. What in God's name is going on with this? What are we doing? And we are a family that, we do 12-hour trips to Chicago on a consistent basis. I mean, that's what we did growing up. We took 12-hour road trips to Chicago all the time. But this is 18 and a half hours. And around hour 15, hour 16, my mom was getting real antsy. She was getting real pissed off. We spent the night somewhere. I think it was somewhere in Mississippi we had spent the night, because we had to spend the night and then get back up and finish the trip. My dad's getting real antsy, getting real pissed off. My brother's a newborn, right? My brother's like 2.5, not even 3 years old yet. So he's obviously being in his terrible twos. I'm like 11 or 12 years old. So I'm obviously acting like a preteen. I'm being a little prima donna. And then my parents are sitting here arguing in the front. It's just a bad combination. It's a bad foursome to be in a car for 18 and a half hours. And the first thing we do when we get to Texas, our family's excited to see us. We all shut everybody off. We shove people in the face. We're like, I don't want to hug you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you. I want to go to bed. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to bed. We'll see y'all tomorrow. It's 1:30 in the afternoon. We don't care. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Like, we were so angry, so antsy, so agitated, so upset that we had to be in this car with each other for 18 and a half hours. So that definitely was and I'm pretty sure we got a flat tire on the way too. So we had to we got stranded on the side of the road for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, while AAA had to come out and fix our flat.
And then you got to go. We had to go back. On the way.
Yeah, yeah. And then we went back. And I'm sorry. That summer, my parents had to go back. Me and my brother went. We took a train to Chicago that summer with my grandfather from Dallas up to Chicago. Oh, now, that was cool. That was actually cool because we got one of those like large commuter trains, and it was like you had a bed and everything. That was actually really cool. But the drive down to Dallas, Texas, oh my God, the worst. Oh.
Wow. Yeah. So mine, I got two. Just kind of an honorable mention. So the first of the two, both of them happened when Artie was in the car. The honorable mention was the night. We were all in a hotel room in Columbia, South Carolina. Ended up getting kicked out of the hotel room. We were in Columbia and we were having too good of a time. Ended up getting kicked out. There were seven of us.
Might not have been my fault.
It was Artie's fault. there were seven of us that piled into this Honda CRV, just like the Van Bandits. And we drove back. This was at like 3 o'clock in the morning. We've tailgated all day. This was the game at South Carolina, ECU lost in Scotty Moe's first year. And we had been tailgating all day, went to the game. After the game, we went to the bars. And it was like 2:30, 3 o'clock. We get kicked out of the hotel. Somebody's like, what are we going to do? And we were like, my plan was, hey, let's just sit in the car, sober up. We'll drive home in the morning. Mm-hmm. Let's just sleep in the car. We're boys here.
Which is probably what we should have done.
We have a friend that's even more of a prima donna than Artie. And it was his car. He was like, I'm not doing this. So we drove home. I kid you not. I slept in the passenger side back seat with my head up against the headrest for 5 hours from Columbia, South Carolina to Greenville, North Carolina. And just, I slept. I'd wake up. I'd look. I'd be like, where the fuck are we? And I think everybody was asleep except for the guy driving. I feel so bad for him now. But that was a brutal ride. All hungover.
Only one awake.
All drunk.
The only one. I was in the trunk. That's all I know. I was in the trunk. And I was asleep. I was knocked the entire time.
There might have been eight of us in there because there was two guys in the trunk. You and DJ.
It was me and John. Was it me and DJ? I think you and DJ. I thought it was me and John.
AG was in the front seat. I was in the back seat. John's in the back seat. I feel like somebody else was in the back seat.
You got Cam. Cam was in there.
Cam was in the middle.
Yeah.
Cam was between me and John, and Kyle's driving. Yeah. I mean, eight guys drunk, piled into a CRV. Luckily, the driver was sober enough to get us home. That was terrible.
Fantastic.
And my number one, Artie and I, once again, road trip. We go down to Miami. We leave. What time would you say? 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night?
Yeah, because we drove through the night. Yeah,
we drove through the night to Miami.
We had the brilliant idea to drive through the freaking night.
Well, we weren't going to waste a day driving.
Well, that's true, but like, my God, like we left in the
this whole trip.
It was night.
This whole trip sucked. So I used to drive a 2006 Saturn View, and Artie and I are driving together. It's the two of us. The other two guys are in another car. We're taking two cars down there. About 3 hours in, 4 hours in, we're getting through Charlotte. Artie looks at me. He's like, mind if I take a nap? And I'm like, go ahead. Thinking, okay, he'll wake up in a couple hours and switch out. This is a 15-hour drive. This motherfucker wakes up. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. Sun's coming up. I'm driving. He's been asleep for 7 hours. We're an hour and a half away. We're an hour and a half away from Miami. I tried waking him up. I was like, yo, Artie.
No, you did not try waking me up.
I did. I said your name at least a couple of times. Artie goes, yo, you good? And we're an hour and a half. He's like, you need me to drive? I'm like, Artie, we're an hour and a half away. He's like, oh, shit. And I'm like, yeah. Thanks, man.
Hey, I drove a majority way home, though. I drove the majority way
I drove home. Half, and you drove the other half. The thing
I'm, No, about the- I did a good 10 hours. I did a good 10 hours going home. I did a solid 10. I did a solid 10, man. I did a solid 10. Come
what
on.
What I do know is my AC went out while we were in Miami.
Yes, yes, it did.
And Artie and I, driving back from spring break in Miami, we're driving up 85, 95 with the windows down, doing about 90.
Just to try and stay cool.
Oh my gosh. It was 105 out with 50% humidity. Yeah. So Artie and I, we've had some experiences.
These are the things that make you men, kiddos.
And then lastly, Redbeard asks, pancakes or waffles?
Waffles. If I got to pick one, I'll do waffles. I told you before we got on, I love both. I love pancakes and I love waffles, but screw it. I'll just pick waffles.
Yeah. I'm going to take waffles. Now, Artie, here's the question. I saw it circulating the internet last week. If you had to get rid of one between French toast, pancakes, waffles, or cinnamon bun, which one would you get rid of?
Ooh. It's between French toast and cinnamon buns for me. Oh, to get rid of?
Yeah.
If I'm getting rid of one, I'm getting rid of pancakes.
Yeah, me too.
If I'm getting rid of one, yeah, I'm getting rid of pancakes. I'm keeping other. I waffles, cinnamon buns, French toast. Yeah, I can live the rest of my life with those three.
Pancakes.
I
don't need just, to have basically pancakes. Just bread.
Yeah, I don't need. I love pancakes. But I don't need them like that. No.
All right. Well, that's enough, Artie. Let's do walk the plank and then get the fuck out of here. These people have listened long enough to us. All right. Do you have a walk the plank?
No, I'm gonna defer to you because I think I'll walk the plank the same. I'm gonna go ahead and just defer to you.
Which, the Tommy Pham one?
Oh, I thought you were going NC State.
Well, I was gonna do that one as yeah, fuck State. Tommy Pham, have you heard about this already?
No.
Mm-mm. How have you not heard about this? Adam Schefter is tweeting about this.
Who the hell is Tommy Pham?
Tommy Pham is a baseball player. Okay, he plays. He's on the Padres. I think he's still maybe on the.
Oh, Padres. Is this the Jock Peterson thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Tommy Pham goes up to Jock Peterson last week before the game, slaps him. Jock Peterson, after the game, is asked about it. Jock, what's going on with this? What happened? Jock goes, he's mad about something that happened in our fantasy league. Well, they asked Tommy Pham, why are you mad? He said he's a cheater. Basically, he thought Jock Peterson was stashing players on his bench or on IR in a fantasy league. Tommy Pham ends
like
up
some shit we would do.
Tommy Pham gets suspended 3 games by the Major League Baseball. Turns out Jock Peterson sent him a GIF talking shit about the Padres, his team. Mike Trout is the commissioner of the league. Tommy Pham also goes on record to say Mike Trout is the worst commissioner in all of fantasy football. What is going on? What is going on? What world are we living in, Artie? Where we've got Major League Baseball players on different teams slapping each other, calling out each other for fantasy football. And Tommy Pham left the league halfway through the season.
Jared, fantasy football is a real thing, all right? Fantasy football is a real thing. People put real money on it, all right? There's real stipulations. We know this. We do it. We live it firsthand. Fantasy football is a real thing. It's legit.
Okay. Let's see. ESPN calling us Eastern Carolina.
Oh God, they keep doing it.
They did it like three times.
They just keep doing it. Like, it's got to be on purpose at this point.
Yeah. So ESPN walked the damn plank, and then finally NC State fans, NC State baseball, Elliot Avent, Tommy Dingers or whatever his name is, walk the damn plank. I don't care.
I tell you what, care. NC State needs to do.
I don't feel bad for you.
Well, we don't feel bad for you, but y'all need to send the NCAA a care package or a gift or something. They hate y'all. NCAA does not like you guys. You need to do something that to get it back into the good graces of NCAA because they don't fuck with NC State. So NC State needs to stop getting at ECU on Twitter and get at the NCAA. That's who y'all need to get at. Because the NCAA hates y'all more than us, and they don't want to screw y'all. So,
yeah. Artie, what's the biggest rivalry? What's the bigger rivalry? NC State versus the NCAA or NC State versus the conference tournament championship or conference title?
They haven't won one in like 30 plus years, right?
It's been not a long any of the time. Sports that matter. It's all been right.
A long time.
That's all I got.
We got to go. We love you, Pirate Nation. That's all we got. Deuce.
Peace.